We continue Be'ezat Hashem in our limud of Masechet Ketubot. We are on Daf Pei Gimel. We begin a new perek, perek Teshi'i, Hakotev Le'ishto. This limud is Le'ilui Nishmat Rav Shalom Cohen ben Tfach HaMalka, Yair ben Tov, Anaim ben Chatun, Yom Tov ben Chana, Shaul ben Latife, Erez ben Miriam, Baruch ben Shelomo, Sulika bat Chana, Et Rivka bat Mordechai, Rivka bat Dvorai, Vashlomit bat Ilana Esther, Chaya Esther Chava bat Sarai, Luba bat Mazal, Alehem HaShalom. Also Lizchut Refuah Shelema, for Esther bat Sarah, Elisheva bat Neta, Gabriela Masuda bat Sarah, and Chana bat Sulika. The Mishnah begins with the following, Hakotev le'ishto din udvarim en li benichsayich. One who writes for his wife in a shtar, a declaration, I don't have any legal dealings or any involvement with your property, which means he's relinquishing his rights to her possessions. Din udvarim en li benichsayich. Hareze ochel perot bechayeha. Nevertheless, he still has the right to eat perot, to eat the produce of her property during her lifetime. Ve'imeta yosha, and if she dies before him, he inherits from her. Imken lama katav la din udvarim eni benichsayir. Well, if that's the case, if he still has the rights, then why would he write such words? Din udvarim eni benichsayir. She'im machra venatna kayam. Meaning, now that he said this declaration, it does work. It has an effect to a certain degree. That what? She'im machra venatna kayam. That if she sold or gave away her property, the transaction is valid and he cannot claim it. Katav la din udvarim eni benichsayich ubeperotehem. If he added to his declaration, he wrote, I have no legal dealings or any involvement with your property or with its produce. He added the word ubeferotehem. Hare ze eno ochel perot bechayeha. And he cannot eat the produce of her property during her lifetime. But ve'imeta yosha. If she dies before him, he still retains the right to inherit from her. Rabbi Yehuda omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, le'olam ochel pere perot. Really, he always has the right to eat the produce of the produce, which means although he waived his rights to consume the produce itself, so the produce becomes part of her principal, part of her nechse meluk. So whatever produce comes from that produce, that is still under his entitlement. It remains under his entitlement to perot. So he can eat the perot of the perot. Unless he writes to her, din udvarim eni benichsayich ubeperotehem ubepereperotehem adaolam. If he says, I don't have any legal dealings or any involvement with your property, nor with its produce, and nor with the produce of its produce forever. That's according to Rav Yehuda. Now, כתב לדין ודברים, אני בנכסייך ובפירותיהם ובפירי פירותיהם בחייך ובמותך. If let's say he writes this whole declaration, I have no legal dealings nor involvement with your property, nor with its produce, nor with the produce of its produce in your lifetime and after your death, בחייך ובמותך. So the halacha is, אינו אוכל פירות בחייה, he cannot eat the produce, the פירות, while she's alive, ואם מתה אינה יורשה. And if she dies, he doesn't inherit from her. He relinquished that right. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, however, argues. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, imeta yirashena. If she dies, he does inherit from her. Mipenei shematne al ma shekatuv b'Torah. Because this declaration that he made regarding after her death, that's a stipulation that is against what is written in the Torah. Because according to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, a husband inherits from his wife by the law of the Torah. And anyone who stipulates something that is opposite of what's written in the Torah, the stipulation, the condition is batel, is void. The Gemara begins by telling us, Tane Rabbi Chiya ha'omer le'ishto. Rabbi Chiya taught in a braita, instead of ha'kotev le'ishto like we have in our Mishnah, where he wrote it in a shtar, in the Braita of Rabbi Chiya, it says, Ha'omer le'ishto din udvarim eni benichsayich. one who says to his wife verbally, not one who writes to his wife, which indicates that this condition that we spoke about in the Mishnah can actually just be stated verbally. It doesn't have to be written in a shtar. So now the Gemara asks, V'chi katav lahachi mai havi? And if he wrote these words to her, so what of it? Which means, how does it take effect? How does such a t'nai take effect? V'hatanya, but did we not learn in a braita, ha'omer l'chavero dinu dvarim en li al sadeh zo? One who says, whether verbally or by written communication, he tells another person with whom he shares property, he says, dinu dvarim en li al sadeh zo. I have no legal dealings or involvement with this field. V'en li esek ba, or I have no dealings with it. V'yadai mesulakot hemena, or my hands are removed from it. Lo amar klum, he has said nothing. Which means, that's because these statements that waive rights without actually transferring them to the other person don't have any legal standing. So the Gemara now is asking, on the Mishnah, on the Braita that we just saw from Rabbi Chiya, what do you mean, akotev lishto dinu dvarim eni minchsa, or ha'omer lishto? How could it have any effect? We have a Braita that says that one who does that, one who says that or writes that, it doesn't mean anything, it doesn't take any effect. Amre debe Rabbi Yanai. So in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai, they answered, Bekotev lah ve'oda arusa. The Mishnah is talking about one who writes this statement for her while she is still arusa. It's only mekudeshet. They didn't get married. Which means, since the property is not yet really in the husband's possessions when he wrote this condition, so he's able to forego any rights that he would later receive. Rav Kahana, as Rav Kahana said, Damar Rav Kahana, Nachala haba'a le'adam mimakom acher, an inheritance that is coming to a person from another place, which means he didn't inherit it yet directly, but it's coming to him rather through his wife or by means of a gift. So, Adam matne alea shelo yirashena, a person can stipulate, he can make a t'nai with regards to it, that he won't inherit it. In this case, the statement would be affected. Although one cannot waive a right one already has, but to waive a right that he's about to have, that's coming indirectly to him, then that is possible. Ve'kiderava, and it's also according to what Rava says. De'amar Rava, Rava says, ha'omer i'efshi betakanat hachamim kegon zu, one who says, I don't want to have for myself this takana of chachamim that was instituted for my benefit, such as this one, shomim lo, we listen to him. So our Mishnah, we explain, is talking about where it didn't yet come to him, it's before it comes to him, they're only me'orasim, right? They're not married yet, so then if he writes, dinu dvarim eni benichsayich, he can do so with a combination of the psak of Rav Kahana and what Rava says. Now, the words of Rava, ha'omer i'efshi betakanat chachamim kegonzu, like this one, my kegonzu, the Gemara asks, what is meant by such as this one? What is it referring to? Kederavhuna amarav. As Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, de'amar Rav Huna amarav. Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, yechola isha shetomar leba'ala eni nizonet veni osa. A woman can say to her husband, I forego my rights to be nizonet, to be sustained by you, and in turn, eni osa, I will not work, meaning you can't keep my earnings. The Chachamim instituted that a husband has to provide sustenance for his wife, and in exchange, he's entitled to her wages. Well, since it was instituted for her benefit, she has the right to opt out of this arrangement, and therefore, similarly, the husband also can opt out of an arrangement that's granting him the right to the perot of his wife's property. So therefore, he can say, Dinu dvarim enli venichsai. Ihachi afilu nesua nami. Gemara asks, if so, if Rava is of the opinion that a person can waive a right that is instituted by the Chachamim for his own benefit, so then afilu nesua nami, even if he's relinquishing his rights to his wife's property after they actually got married, still it should be valid. Why does the Yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai find it necessary to explain that the Mishnah is only referring to a case where she's only mekudeshet? If we're going like Rava, that a person has the right to say, if she be takanat chachamim, He waives his right for the from the, you know, that Chachamim instituted for his benefit. So then even Nesu'ah also, why only Me'oreset? Amar Abaye, Nesu'ah Yado Ke Yada. Abaye says, when they are fully married, then Yado, his hand, meaning his right to her property, Ke Yada is like her hand, which means, since the husband is considered a partner in her property, so therefore, he cannot anymore now forfeit his ownership by this mere declaration. Now that they are nesu'im, not that they are married, now it's like he's a shutav, he's a partner in her property. So now you can't just make a declaration like that and get out of it. Rava amar yado adifa miyada. In fact, Rava says once they're married, his hand has more advantage than her hand, which means he has more rights to her property than she does. The Gemara asks, or the Gemara says, Nafka mina, what's the practical difference between what Abaye said, that he said Yado ke Yada, and Rava says, no, Yado is even more than Yada. What's the practical difference between them? Nafka mina leshomeret Yavam. It's in a case of a widow who's waiting for her brother-in-law, the Yavam, to perform Yibum. So if we say the husband's rights are greater than the wife's rights on the property, so then the rights of the Yavam can be judged to be at least equal to that of the wife. But if the husband and wife only have equal rights in her property, then the rights of the Avam will be inferior to the wife. Now the Gemara asks a question regarding the statement of the Braita that we learned before, that a person who tells his friend, his partner, he says they have a partnership on a field. So one says to his partner, Dinu Dvarim, En li al sadezu, I waive my rights to this field. Lo amar klum, it said in the Braita. He didn't say anything. It's not valid. So the Gemara asks, Ibai Alehu, they had a question, Kanumi Yado Mahu? What is the halacha in a case if not only did he write such a declaration to relinquish his rights to his partner's property, but they also performed a kinyan, an act of acquisition that transfers the rights from him? Amar Rav Yosef says, Midin Udvarim Kanumi Yado. Rav Yosef is saying it still doesn't work. The kinyan doesn't work because midin udvarim kanu miyado. The kinyan that they made was only on the words that were said. Din udvarim, I have no legal dealings or involvement with the field. And so again, just like those words come up empty, the kinyan on such words are empty. So therefore, nothing is valid. Rav Nachman, however, argues, and he says, no, migufa shel karka kanu miyado. Which means, since we see that they made a kinyan, so we assume that their intention in this kinyan was to do it in a way that works, that's effective. And therefore we say that the intention behind the kinyan was to actually transfer the ownership of the field with this kinyan. So according to Rav Nachman, it is valid. Amar Abaye, Mistabra Milta de Rav Yosef Be'orer. Abaye says, the words of Rav Yosef, that midin udvarim kanum yado, and it's not effective, is more reasonable, be'orer, which means in the case of one who immediately objects when the other one comes to claim his portion that he was promised, and he says now that, no, the only reason why I wrote those words was in order to avoid any arguments. So now, if he's objecting to it, if he's orer, he's claiming against the one who's coming now to take his share that he thought he got after he thought the rights of his partner were waived. So in that case, we say, that shows that the kinyan was not effective. It was only a kinyan on the words themselves. And just like the words are empty, the kinyan is empty. Aval be'omed. But in the case of one who is standing there and waiting while the other takes possession of the land, right? So he's just quiet. Then we say that the intention with that kinyan was to acquire the land itself. And therefore, it's valid, it's effective, and afterwards he cannot retract his statement in a later stage. Amar Amemar says, Hilcheta migufa shel karka kanu miyado. The halacha is like what Rav Nachman said, that really, once we see they made a kinyan, we assume that the kinyan is done on the karka itself, and it is valid, and he takes possession of the land. Amar le Ravashi la Memar. So Ravashi is asking a Memar, wait a second, Be'orer or Be'omed? In which case are you saying that the halacha is migufa shel karka? Is it even in a case where he's orer, where he's complaining immediately, where he's objecting immediately, or only in the case of omed, where he's waiting, meaning he's silent? So the Gemara says, lemay nafka mina l'keder Rav Yosef. To what difference does it make? It makes a difference according to the way Abaye explained the opinion of Rav Yosef. Because according to Rav Nachman, in either case, the other one possesses the land and is kone. But the question is, this that he asked him, is it be'orer or be'omed? Because it makes a difference according to Abaye's explanation of Rav Yosef's opinion. Amar le lo shmiali. So Amemar said to him, I didn't hear Abaye's explanation of the opinion of Rav Yosef. When I said, hilcheta migufa shel karka kanum yado, I meant in any case. I didn't hear that there is a difference between orer or omed. Klomar lo svirali, meaning not only did he say, lo shmiali, I didn't hear it, he meant to say, I don't hold according to that. I don't hold that there's a difference between orer or omed. I don't make any distinction between the two cases. In both cases, once a kinyan was made, we say that migufa shel karka kanum yado, and the kinyan is valid. Now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, imken lama katavla v'chule. Meaning, if you remember, the Mishnah said that if a husband says to his wife, dinu dvarim eni benichsaich, I have no claim to your property. So the Mishnah said he didn't relinquish his right from the perot of the property or to inherit his wife. It doesn't work to relinquish those rights. And then the Mishnah asked, imken lama katavla, so then why did he write those words? What difference does it make if he still retains his right on the perot and on the inheritance? So the Mishnah answered that if she sells or if she gives away as a gift the property, it's a legal transaction. It works. So the Gemara is asking, that's all? V'teimale, why doesn't the wife say to him, mikol mile salikat nafshach? You removed yourself from everything. You wrote a general statement. You said, dinu dvarim eni benichsaich. That could be understood as a renouncement of all his rights. Why are we saying it's only good enough that she could sell it or she could give it away? But perot, he still has. Yerusha, he still has. Why can't she tell him, look, you wrote that dinu dvarim eni benichsaich, that means nothing, you shouldn't have any rights. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, we have a rule, yad ba'al ashtar ala tachtona. There's a principle, the owner of the document is always at a disadvantage. Which means when you have a shtar, it's always interpreted as narrowly as possible, in the most limited way. So therefore, in this case, when he wrote, dinu dvarim eni benichsaich, we narrow it down only that he relinquished some of his rights, which means that she could sell it, she can give it away, but not the rights on the perot or the yerusha. So the Gemara asks, who said, ve'ema mi pere? Why don't we say the husband withdrew his rights from the perot? Why don't you narrowly explain the shtar that way? Why do you say that only on the fact that she can sell it or she could give it away? Maybe he relinquished his rights from the produce. After all, her ability to give away or to sell the land, that's a big thing, right? That's not a small thing, especially compared to just eating the perot. So why don't we interpret his statement that he relinquished his rights on the perot? That's all. Not that she could sell it. Why do you go the other way around and you say, no, he relinquished his rights that she could sell it, but on the perot, no, that he didn't. Why don't you say the other way around? Amar Abaye, Abaye says there is a saying by people, butzina tav mikara. A cucumber that one person has is better than a big pumpkin that a person is only going to have later. Which means there is this assumption that the fact that the husband has access right now to the produce, that's more important to him than the fact that in the future, she'll have the ability to sell the field. That's not such a big deal. But that's in the future. But right now, he's able to have perot. That's more important to him. As the saying is, butzina tav mikara, give me one cucumber that I could have now. It's better than a big pumpkin that you promise me later. Asks the Gemara, ve'ema mirusha, Why not say that the husband withdrew his rights from the inheritance? Why don't you explain it that way? Amar Abaye, mita shchicha, mechira lo shchicha. Abaye says death is something that is common, whereas mechira lo shchicha, selling the field, that's not common. One doesn't usually sell the inheritance that he received from one's ancestors. But mita is shchicha. That's something that is common. V'chi mesalek inish nafshe mimilta delo shchicha. When a person removes himself from something, if he waives his rights from something, he's waiving his right from something delo shchicha, something that is not common. Mimilta de shchicha lo mesalek inish nafshe. From something that is common, such as this case, mita, yerusha, that he's not waiving his right. So if you have a choice to explain which one did he mean to waive his rights from, so we say it's not from the Yerusha, that's something that can happen, it's common to happen. Rather, he waived his rights from the ability to sell it, that she should be able to sell it if she wants, as the Mishnah explains. Rav Asher Amar, Rav Asher has a different reason. He says, the wording of the shtar is, benichsayich ve'lo beferotehem. He says, Dinu Dvarim, I don't have any dealings benichsayich in your property, which indicates I'm not relinquishing my claim to the perot. I'm only relinquishing my claim to nichsayich, but lo beperotehem, benichsayich velo leachar mita. And also, I'm relinquishing my right to your property, meaning during your lifetime, but not relinquishing my claim to it after your death as a Yerusha. So Rav Asher is saying that from the words itself of the declaration, we can see the explanation of the Mishnah that the only thing that he relinquished his rights from is from the property itself, meaning that she can sell it or she can give it away, but not from the perot and not from the Yerusha. Now the Mishnah taught us that in a case where he says, Dinu dvarim eni benichsayich ube perotehem, so Tana Kama said, okay, now he doesn't have perot. However, Rabbi Yehuda omer leolam ochel pere perot. Rabbi Yehuda says he can always consume the perot of the perot, the produce of the produce. So the Gemara brings us a braita. Tanu Rabbanan, elu hen perot ve'elu hen pere perot. What's considered produce and what's considered produce of the produce? Ichnisa lo karka ve'asta perot, hare hen perot. If she brought into the marriage for her husband land that produced produce, that's perot, that's produce. Machar perot, v'lakach mehem karka ve'asta perot, harehen pere perot. If let's say he took the produce, and he sold the produce, and he purchased a land from their sale, and that land produced perot, produced produce, that's considered pere perot. So now, the Gemara asks the following question. Ibaya lehu, le Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says in our Mishnah that really he can eat pere perot, ad shichtov ladin udvarim eni benichsayich ubeperotehem ubepere perotem adolam. Rabbi Yehuda said the only way that he can never have perot from the field at all is if he explicitly writes, I have no dealings with your nichsayich ubeperotehem ubepere perotem adolam. With, I don't have any dealings, I relinquish my rights from the property, from the produce, and from the produce of the produce forever. So the Gemara is asking a question. Le Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, pere perot dafka, is it specifically the phrase that he says, and I relinquish my rights from pere perot, is that what makes the statement effective? And that would be enough to write? O dilma ad olam dafka. Or maybe he has to specifically write forever. And that in itself, the words Adolam is what makes it effective. O dilma tarvayu dafka. Or maybe it's effective only if he specifically writes both of those statements. Pere perot and Adolam. So again, if you look in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, how does he relinquish his rights totally? If he writes, Dinu dvarim eni benichsayich ubeperotehem ubepere perotehem Adolam. So the Gemara has a three-way question here. Let's say he just writes Pere Perotehem. Is that enough to totally relinquish his rights? Or let's say he just writes Ube Perotehem Adolam. He didn't say Be Pere Perotehem. Is that enough forever? Or does he have to actually write both? Ube Pere Perotehem Adolam.
So the Gemara says, "Im timatze lomar pere perot dafka." If you want to say that it's specifically the phrase pere perot that makes the statement of the husband effective here, ad olam lamali. So why do I need the Mishnah to include the words ad olam forever? So the Gemara says, "Hakamashmalan." This is what the Mishnah is telling us. Kevan dekatav la pere perot. The Mishnah means to say that once he writes, I relinquish my right from the pere perot. Keman dekatav la ad olam dami. It's as if he wrote forever. It doesn't mean that he has to actually write the words ad olam. The Mishnah is explaining itself and saying that once you say pere perot, it's like he wrote ad olam. Is that how we learn Rabbi Yehuda? Or if you go the other way around, if you say that the words ad olam is what makes the statement effective, then the question is pere perot lamali. So why does he have to specify? Why does the Mishnah say he specifies pere perot? Hakamashmalan. You could say that this is what the Mishnah is teaching me. Afal gav de katav la pere perot, that even if you write pere perot, I katav la ad olam in, only if he adds the words ad olam, then it makes it effective. Ilolo. But if not, if he only wrote pere perot, it doesn't make it effective forever. And he can still have the perot of the perot of the perot. But now we have the third option. And if you want to tell me that you need, the husband needs to specify both terms. He has to say pere perot ad olam. Tarti lamali. So why do I need these two expressions? Why is it important to be so explicit? The Gemara says tzricha, it's necessary, because the ikatav la pere perot velo katav la adolam. If he only wrote, I relinquish my rights from the pere perot, but not he didn't write ad olam. Havamina pere perot hu delo achil. Then you could always say, okay, he's relinquishing his rights from the produce of the produce. Aval pera de pere perot, but the produce of the produce of the produce achil. That's why he has to explicitly add ad olam forever. And the other way around, if you would only write forever, then you would not write the words pere perot. I would say that the words leolam, meaning forever, is only going on the produce itself of the field, the first produce. But not the produce of the produce. Meaning he's saying, I would say that he's saying he will never be able to take from the produce of the field. But the produce of the produce he never mentioned. That's why he also has to write pere perot ad olam. So that's the explanation of the words of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Ibaya lehu, the Chachamim have a question. Katav la dinu dvarim en li benichsayich ube pere perot. If he writes, I have no claim to your property or to the produce of your produce. And notice, he didn't write, I relinquish my rights to your produce. He just wrote, I relinquish my rights from your property and from the produce of the produce, the perot of the perot. But the perot themselves, the first ones, he didn't write anything. So now that the question is, maushi ochal perot? What's the halacha? Can he at least take from the perot themselves? Which means, did he mean to exclude that? And the Gemara explains the doubt here. Mi pere perot salik nafshe. He relinquished his rights from the perot of the perot. But mi pere lo salik nafshe. But from the first produce, he did not relinquish. O dilma, or do we say, mi kol mili salik nafshe? Or do we say that when he said these words, it doesn't make sense to say that he only relinquished from the produce of the produce, but not the produce. He relinquished his right from everything. Dei amar mi perei perot salik nafshe, mi perei lo salik nafshe, because if you want to say he only relinquished his rights from the produce of the produce, but not from the produce itself, kevan dachlinu le perot, since he's able to eat the produce itself, perei perot mehecha, then where is there going to be any produce of produce? Why did he have to write that I relinquish my rights from the pere perot? So obviously he means to relinquish his rights from the perot altogether. Velitamir, the Gemara says, but according to your reasoning, hadit nan Rabbi Yehuda omer leolam uochel pere perot, according to what Rabbi Yehuda said, that forever he's able to consume the pere perot until he writes or to the perot or perot perot forever. Right? That means if he didn't write that, then he would be able to consume the perot. So here also you can ask, Pere perot mehecha, kevan de'achlinu lepere pere perot mehecha, since he ate the perot, where is he getting pere perot from? Ela b'deshaira. You must say, rather, it's referring to some that was left over. Some of the produce was left over, which he used to purchase land. And from there, he had produce, right? So you cannot say, it's possible to say that something was left over. You can't ask, Pere perot meicha. So hachanami b'deshayos also say the same thing regarding Tanakama, just like you would explain by Rabbi Yehuda, you could explain it by Tanakama as well. And therefore, there's no proof one way or another. And therefore, the question of the Gemara, of if he wrote dinu dvarim eni benichsayich ubepere perot, can he eat at least the perot, is left unresolved here in the Gemara.